Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be tackling something that might sound a little intimidating at first. Determinants.
Okay.
You might remember them from high school algebra, but trust me, there's a lot more to them than meets the eye.
I believe it.
We're diving into some pretty technical source material to really understand what a determinant is, how it's calculated, and why it even matters.
Right.
And here's a little teaser for you. Determinants can actually be negative, which reveals kind of a hidden orientation.
Interesting.
In the volume that we're going to be exploring.
It's like the determinant has a secret language
telling
us not just about size,
right?
But about direction too.
Okay, before we get lost in the jargon though.
Sure.
Let's start with a visual.
Okay.
So imagine a simple cube.
Right.
Our trusty unit cube.
Got it.
Now when a matrix acts upon this cube, it transforms it into something called a parallel pipe.
Okay.
Think of it as like a slanted box.
Yeah.
The determinant tells us how much the volume of this new shape has changed compared to our original cube.
So what's really fascinating here
is
that the determinant isn't just about stretching or shrinking.
Right.
It can also tell us if the transformation has flipped the orientation of the shape.
Okay.
Kind of like looking at a mirror image.
So if the determinant is 2 Meyer, the parallel pipe has twice the volume of the original cube.
Well, right.
If it's 0.5, the volume's been cut in half.
Exactly.
But if it's negative, things get really interesting.
That's where things get interesting.
Because that means the orientation is flipped.
Exactly. Now. It's like the determinant is giving us a clue about whether the transformation has turned the shape inside out.
All right. I'm already intrigued.
Uh-huh.
Now, I know calculating a determinant involves a formula.
It does.
And let's be honest, it can look pretty scary.
Yeah, a lot of people get intimidated by it.
Can you break it down for us without getting too lost in the mathematical weeds?
Absolutely. So the formula itself might seem complicated, but it's really based on 3 key properties.
Okay.
Multilinearity.
Okay.
Degeneracy.
Right.
And antisymmetry.
Okay, those sound like some serious mathematical terms.
They do have kind of a ring to them, don't they?
Yeah. Let's unpack them one by one.
Sure.
What's multilinearity all about?
So think about our parallel pipe again.
Okay.
Multilinearity means that if we stretch one side of the parallel pipe, the volume changes proportionally.
Mm.
It also means that if we add 2 vectors along one side, the volume changes in a way that distributes over the addition.
Okay.
Basically, the volume behaves predictably when we stretch or combine the sides.
So it's like saying the volume plays by the rules, no funny business.
Exactly, no funny business.
Got it. Now, what about degeneracy?
Okay.
That sounds a little ominous.
Degeneracy is actually pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It simply means that if any 2 sides of our parallel piped collapse onto each other, the volume becomes 0.
Uh-huh.
Imagine squashing a box flat. No more volume. Kind of like my hopes of winning the lottery completely flattened.
Ouch. I feel that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, last but not least,
right.
We have antisymmetry.
Yes.
What's the secret behind this one?
This is where things get really cool.
Okay.
Antisymmetry tells us that if we swap 2 sides of the parallel pipe bed, the sign of the determinant flips from positive to negative or vice versa.
So it's like saying the determinant is sensitive to the order of the sides, almost like it cares about which side is on top.
Exactly. And the sensitivity is where the idea of oriented volume comes in.
Hmm.
The sign of the determinant tells us about the orientation of the shape, whether it's been flipped or not.
Okay.
It's like the difference between a right hand and a left hand. They're mirror images of each other.
That's a great analogy.
Thanks.
So how do these 3 properties, multilinearity, degeneracy, and antisymmetry, actually lead us to the formula for the determinant?
Well, we can derive the formula by carefully applying these properties step by step.
Okay.
It's a bit involved, but let's use a 2x2 matrix as a simple example.
All right. We start by using multilinearity to expand the determinant into a sum of terms.
Mm-hmm.
Then, using degeneracy, we get rid of terms where the same vector appears twice.
Okay.
Finally, antisymmetry helps us rearrange and simplify the remaining terms, leading us to the formula for a 2x2 determinant.
So it's like we're using these 3 properties as clues to solve a puzzle.
Exactly.
And the solution is the formula.
You got it.
But what about larger matrices?
Yeah, good question.
Does it get even more complicated?
Yes. For larger matrices, things do get a bit more complex.
Okay.
We need to introduce the concept of permutations.
Right.
Which are basically different ways to arrange things.
Okay.
But the underlying logic, those 3 core properties, remains the same.
So I don't necessarily need to memorize the full-blown formula for a 5x5 matrix.
Right.
but I should understand the logic behind it.
Exactly.
That's reassuring. Now, our source material also mentions something about the derivative of the determinant.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point.
What's that all about? So the derivative of the determinant tells us how the volume of our parallelepipede changes when we make tiny tweaks to the matrix.
Hmm.
It's like asking, if I nudge this transformation just a little bit,
yeah,
how does the volume respond?
So it's a way to measure how sensitive the volume is to changes in the transformation.
Precisely. And to study these tiny changes, we can use something called a linear approximation.
Okay.
A common technique in calculus.
Is that where the trace operator comes in?
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
The trace operator, which is simply the sum of the diagonal elements of a matrix,
right,
helps us quantify these small changes. You can think of it as a measure of how much the transformation stretches or shrinks along the diagonal.
Okay. I'm starting to see how all of this connects.
Yeah, it's all coming together.
We've gone from visualizing cubes and parallel pipeds to understand the formula, and now we're even talking about derivatives and traces.
It's quite a journey.
Determinants are definitely more than just a bunch of numbers.
They certainly are. But the real power of determinants lies in their applications.
Okay.
They pop up everywhere from solving systems of equations to analyzing transformations in physics and engineering.
And speaking of applications, our source material highlights Liouville's theorem, which sounds pretty intriguing.
It's a great one.
What's that all about?
So Liouville's theorem is a beautiful example of how determinants can be used to study how systems evolve over time.
Okay.
Imagine a system of differential equations describing, say, the movement of particles in physics.
Right.
Each vector in the system represents the state of one particle at a particular time.
So it's like tracking a bunch of particles moving around in space.
Exactly. Now we can form a matrix from these vectors and use its determinant to track the volume of a shape formed by these moving particles.
Oh.
What Liouville's theorem tells us is that for a specific type of system called an anti-symmetric system,
right,
this volume stays constant over time, even though the individual particles are moving.
Whoa, that's pretty mind-blowing. So even though everything's in motion, there's this underlying stability.
Exactly.
This conservation of volume.
Precisely. And Liouville's theorem connects this idea to the concept of conservation laws in physics.
Right.
Where certain quantities, like energy or momentum,
yeah,
remain constant despite changes in the system.
Wow, that's incredibly insightful. It's like nature is playing a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Keeping things in check, even when everything seems to be in flux. So we've covered a lot of ground here, visualizing determinants, unpacking the formula, exploring anti-symmetry and oriented volume.
We have.
And even touching on Liouville's theorem before we move on.
Yeah.
Is there anything else we should know about determinants?
Well, there's always more to discover.
Of course.
But I think we've laid a solid foundation for understanding this fascinating concept.
Great. Now let's shift gears and delve into some real-world examples of how determinants are used in fields like computer graphics.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm curious to see how this seemingly abstract concept plays out in practice.
I think you'll be surprised.
Right.
You mentioned computer graphics. Yeah. That's a great example.
Okay.
One way determinants are used is in calculating something called surface normals.
Surface normals.
Imagine you're designing a 3D object for a video game.
Okay.
A shiny metallic sphere, for instance.
Ooh, shiny.
To make that sphere look realistic,
yeah,
we need to figure out how light reflects off its surface.
Okay.
That's where surface normals come in.
Right.
They're basically little arrows pointing outwards from each point on the surface.
Right.
Telling us the direction the surface is facing at that point.
So like tiny compasses.
Yeah.
All over the surface showing which way is up at each spot.
Exactly. And to calculate these normals, we can use determinants.
Oh, wow.
It turns out that the determinant of a matrix formed by vectors,
right,
that define the surface,
okay,
can give us the direction of the normal vector.
Wait, so we're taking those ideas about vectors and transformations,
yeah,
and using them to figure out how light bounces off a virtual object.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing. It is, and it's crucial for creating realistic lighting and shading in computer graphics.
Oh, okay.
Without surface normals, our shiny sphere would just look like a flat, boring circle.
So determinants are basically the secret ingredient for making video games look awesome. Who knew?
They're one of the many tools, for sure.
Right.
And it all comes back to those core properties we talked about. Multilinearity,
yeah,
degeneracy, and anti-symmetry.
Right.
They're not just abstract concepts.
Yeah.
They have very tangible applications in the real world.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all connects. We've gone from visualizing cubes and parallel pipeds to understanding how determinants can be used to create stunning visual effects in video games. It's like we've unlocked a secret code. Now, earlier you mentioned that the sign of the determinant tells us about the orientation of a transformation.
Right.
Whether it's been flipped or not. Can you dive a little deeper into that?
Absolutely. Remember their analogy of the right hand and left hand being mirror images? Well, determinants are sensitive to that kind of reflection.
Okay.
If a transformation flips the orientation of a shape,
yeah,
like a mirror image, the determinant will be negative.
So it's like the determinant is saying, hey, something's been flipped here.
Exactly. And the sensitivity to orientation is crucial in computer graphics. Sometimes we might intentionally want to flip the orientation of an object.
Right.
But we need to be aware of how that affects things and use the determinant accordingly.
It's like having a tool that allows you to control the handedness of your virtual object.
It is.
That's pretty powerful. Now, I know we've talked a lot about computer graphics.
Sure.
But I'm sure there are other applications of determinants in different fields.
Mm.
Can you give us a glimpse into some other areas where they come into play?
Oh, absolutely. Determinants are incredibly versatile.
Okay.
For instance, they're essential for solving systems of linear equations, which pop up in various fields like engineering, economics, and even cryptography.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you have a set of equations with multiple unknowns.
Right. Like figuring out the forces acting on a bridge.
Right.
Or the flow of traffic in a city.
Okay, so it's like having a bunch of clues.
Yeah.
And trying to find the solution that fits them all.
Precisely. Determinants provide a powerful method for solving such systems.
Mm-hmm.
They allow us to check if a solution exists,
mm-hmm.
and if so, to find it efficiently.
So they're like a mathematical detective helping us crack the case.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. I'm starting to realize that determinants are more than just a theoretical concept. They're a practical tool with real-world applications in all sorts of fields.
Indeed. They provide a way to analyze and solve problems that would be incredibly difficult, if not impossible, without them.
You know, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
From visualizing volumes to understanding formulas and exploring real-world applications, I'm starting to feel like I have a much better grasp of what determinants are all about. But before we wrap up, I'm curious, what are some of the limitations of determinants?
Oh, that's a great question.
And it highlights the importance of understanding both the strengths and limitations of any mathematical tool.
Right.
While determinants are incredibly powerful, they do have their limitations.
Right.
For example, they're primarily designed for working with linear transformations, those that preserve straight lines.
Right.
When dealing with nonlinear transformations like curves and bends, determinants might not be as effective.
So it's like having the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
You wouldn't use a hammer to screw in a bolt, right?
Exactly. And in those cases, other mathematical tools like calculus and differential geometry come into play.
Right.
It's all about choosing the right tool for the problem at hand.
That makes sense. Now, I remember you mentioned earlier that determinants are deeply connected to the concept of conservation laws in physics.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a bit more? I'm really intrigued by the idea that something can remain constant even when everything around it is changing.
Absolutely. Conservation laws are some of the most fundamental principles in physics. They tell us that certain quantities like energy momentum and angular momentum remain constant over time, even though the system itself might be undergoing complex changes.
So it's like there's an underlying order, a hidden symmetry that governs the behavior of the universe.
Precisely. Mm. And determinants play a key role in understanding and expressing these conservation laws mathematically.
Okay.
For example, in classical mechanics, Liouville's theorem, which we touched upon earlier,
right.
uses the determinant to demonstrate the conservation of phase space volume.
Right.
This volume represents all possible states of a system.
Right.
And its constancy implies that the system's evolution is constrained in a very specific way.
That's pretty mind-blowing. So determinants aren't just about calculating numbers.
Yeah.
They're about uncovering fundamental truths about the universe.
Mm.
I'm starting to see why you find this topic so fascinating.
It is truly captivating. And the more we delve into it, the more connections we find between seemingly abstract mathematical concepts and the intricate workings of the world around us. It really is amazing how these mathematical concepts weave their way into so many different aspects of our lives.
It's like a hidden language that governs the universe. And we're slowly deciphering it.
And with each new concept we grasp, we unlock a deeper understanding of the world around us.
Speaking of grasping concepts, I want to circle back to something we talked about earlier, Liouville's theorem.
Okay.
I'm still fascinated by the idea that the volume of a system can remain constant.
Yeah.
Even when everything inside is in motion.
It is a remarkable concept, isn't it? Imagine a swarm of bees buzzing around in a closed box.
Yeah.
The individual bees are constantly moving, changing direction.
Right.
But the total volume occupied by the swarm remains the same.
So it's like there's an invisible force keeping the swarm together.
Exactly.
Preventing it from spreading out or collapsing in on itself.
Precisely. And Liouville's theorem gives us a mathematical way to understand and describe that invisible force.
Hmm. It connects the idea of volume conservation to the concept of anti-symmetry,
right,
which we explored earlier.
I remember you said that anti-symmetry has to do with the handedness of a transformation,
right,
whether it flips the orientation or not. How does that tie into volume conservation?
Well, it turns out that the systems that exhibit anti-symmetry tend to preserve volume.
Hmm.
It's like the flipping and twisting motions inherent in anti-symmetric systems,
right,
somehow compensate for each other.
Okay.
Keeping the overall volume constant.
But that's pretty counterintuitive, isn't it? You'd think all that motion would cause the volume to change, but it doesn't.
It is surprising.
Yeah.
And it highlights the power of mathematics to reveal hidden patterns and relationships,
yeah,
that we might not be able to perceive intuitively.
So Liouville's theorem is telling us that even in chaotic systems, there can be an underlying order.
Yes.
A hidden stability.
Exactly. And this idea of stability amidst change is fundamental to many areas of physics, chemistry, and even biology.
It suggests that even in the most complex systems, there are certain constraints, certain invariants that govern their behavior.
It's like there's a cosmic dance going on.
Uh-huh.
With everything moving and swirling, but ultimately the dance floor stays the same size.
I love that analogy. It captures the essence of Liouville's theorem beautifully.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've explored the concept of determinants from multiple angles, visually, algebraically, and even philosophically. We've delved into the formula, unpacked its key properties, and even ventured into real-world applications in computer graphics, cryptography, and physics.
It's been a truly fascinating journey, and I hope our listeners have gained a deeper appreciation for the beauty and power of determinants, as well as their surprising connections to the world around us.
Absolutely. For me, the biggest takeaway is that determinants are more than just a mathematical concept.
Mm.
They're a way of thinking, a way of seeing patterns and relationships that might otherwise remain hidden.
I couldn't agree more. And I encourage our listeners to continue exploring this fascinating topic on their own. There's always more to discover, more connections to make, and more insights to glean.
So to our listeners, if you're feeling inspired to dive deeper into the world of determinants, don't hesitate. Grab those textbooks, search those online resources, and most importantly, keep those brains buzzing.
Happy exploring.
And until next time, fellow knowledge seekers, keep diving deep.